any of you planted gardens? So you go out, like you get tomato seeds and you plant tomato seeds on Tuesday. You're expecting to sit down at dinner on Thursday and have big, lush tomatoes, right? No. Because the first thing that has to happen to that seed is in the ground, it's got to die. And in the process of that, in the watering of that, then the pod opens up and then it begins to gain a root structure. And in that root structure, it begins to grow up until finally, after it develops and the flowers, then the fruit is there. But what we want from God is instantaneous results. And the reality is God says everything in this earth works on these principles: seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. It has to do with everything in our lives, everything. And so if we want to get a different harvest from the seed that we're saying, we've got to speak different things. In other words, we've got to plant different seeds. Amen? Let's just look at a couple of things here. Look at verse 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness is deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. A truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Now, you think about this. Yeah, that's right. Liars, you know, all liars, man, they're all going to hell, right? But this says those who don't speak the truth. And where I want to focus in on that tonight is that if you're not speaking truth that's in line with His truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to know the truth, you have to know Jesus. And whatever Jesus says, that's what we should be saying. Because if we want this fruit that comes from a relationship with Jesus, right, we must be in a position to speak what He's saying. Right? And again, I'm not a liar. I'm not one of those that speaks deceit. Well, do you know that anytime you speak over yourself or somebody else something that's contrary to what the Word says, that you're actually deceiving yourself? Right? And so what is that? That's deceit. And we don't want that fruit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's like, Lord, order my tongue aright. Let me say the things. And where do we learn how to speak, or our pattern of speech, or our habit of speech? We learn it by many factors, but mainly it's about who you're around. Right? It's amazing. You put somebody in an environment where people are cussing all the time. It's not that far, you know, fetched to expect them at some times when they're around you to mess up, because that's the environment that they're around all the time. If you grew up in an environment where people came across and sent this message to you, either by the words that they spoke or the things that they did, saying that you're worthless, that you don't, you're not as good as, that you're not as valuable as, that you're not, you know, you're not one of the in crowd type of thing, and you speak that out of your mouth, then you're disagreeing with what God says. Because God said that He formed you. God said that He had a purpose for you before the foundation of the world. And so what we have to do is we have to speak something different than what we're programmed to speak. And how many know that discipline to change a habit is tough? Right? Right? It's like, if you know that you know that you know that you're not supposed to eat a certain food, but you really like that certain food. Right? In fact, you eat that fruit every day. And yet the doctor says, don't eat that fruit food. Let me just give you an example. I know that there are certain foods that cause arthritic conditions to be worse, right? And you're going, man, I'm so stiff and sore, man, I can hardly move my hand. It's just, and you go, well, what are you eating? Well, this. Well, if you'd stop eating this and this and this and this, that will be greatly reduced, if not eliminated. Yeah, but I like those things. I'm in the habit of eating those things. Well, the fruit of that is stiffness. So if you want something different, you have to change that. And at first, it's like you go to grab that food because you like that food. Give me another bag of chips. Man, I got to have chips at night with my, you know, I watch the TV before I go to bed and I have chips. Well, you're going to have to change that. And for a little while, you're going to be reaching for the chips. But if you'll discipline yourself, then pretty soon you'll get away from that and you wake up one day, man, this feels pretty good. But it didn't feel pretty good the first time that you didn't eat a chip. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the discipline over time to change a lifestyle that causes the change in the result. And we're talking now, tonight, specifically about the fruit of our lips. What are we producing with our lips? Glory to God. And I think it's so important. Watch this. It says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and those who deal truthfully are His delight. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody calls you on your stuff? Right? And you go, oh, who are you to talk to me that way? And they may not even say it the right way. I've worked for men and women who were not very good in their delivery of what they were saying, but there was truth in what they were saying. So I have a choice to make at that point. Am I going to yield to the truth, or am I going to allow my feelings or my perceptions to keep me from growing to what God wants for me? And tonight what I want to say is that God wants you to get out of that and to begin to speak different things. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Glory to God. The Bible says in Proverbs in another place that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if I want life, then I've got to speak life. If I'm going to speak death, right? And that's not just for myself, but it's for the people that I'm around. Right? If we're constantly berating people rather than lifting them up, then there's death that's being produced not only in them, but if you keep it up long enough, you're not going to be around them because they're going to say, who needs this? Does that make sense? So it's important for us to begin to see this and to begin to change that and say, God, I am serious now about changing what I'm saying. I'm serious about changing what I'm speaking. Because what I'm saying and what I'm speaking has had an effect on me and is not producing the fruit that I want in the others that are around me. Does that make sense? Right? And you can give all the excuses you want. That woman makes me so mad. If she didn't do this, I wouldn't have done that. What I have to say to you is shut up. Because you're lying to yourself. The only reason you said something is because you wanted to say it and you were programmed to say it and you said it out of hurt and you didn't say it out of truth. Right? And we want what's right. So we have to say, okay, God, how many know that that true holiness and walking in holiness is impossible without God's help? But when the Holy Spirit is bringing something up to us to change, that even in Him relating it to us is the assurance that we have the power to do what He's asking us to do. We've just got to get in there and say, bless God, I'm determined, no matter what, I am going to yield to what the Spirit of God wants me to do. If He wants me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and pray for 2 hours in tongues, and I know that's God, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Whatever discipline the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to you, you have to make a determination that that's me. That's me from now on. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 6. Did you find it? Hallelujah. Look at this. I don't know where to start because I could go. I know what verse I want to get to, but look. Let's start in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. For is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? You think Jesus was just kind of metaphorically up there going, I think I'll say something sweet and bubbly, and you know, everybody will just think that I'm waxing eloquent. And no, He was talking to us about our motive and where our actual trust and faith comes in. See, what is happening when you're worried about your life? What you're saying is, God, I know You've got me. I know You're in control, but I think He needs some help. Right? God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need my help. Said, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? I'm telling you tonight, God's got your back. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And so why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What's He saying? The moment that you're concerned about you and God really taking care of you, that's the moment that you're not believing God to take care of you. So think about this. A lot of things that come out of our mouth in the form of worry, the form of lying, the form of all of that, or even trying to make sure that we get our voice heard, is because we lack something about a knowledge of that God's got me. God will promote me. Verses like Jesus said, you know, love your enemies. And He said, another place He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. In other words, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I will balance the books at the end of the day. Right? So we need to be at the place where we're trusting God, where our faith is in God, that God has me. Come on, do you believe that tonight? God has me. Now watch this, verse 31. It says, Therefore, do not worry, saying. Now watch this, it's really important. Do not worry, saying. How many know that worry is built up in thoughts? It's your perception of the reality of where you are right now and what's coming your way or what might happen in the future. That's worry. But worry is based in thoughts. Thoughts. If you thought differently, then worry wouldn't be a part of your life. But watch this. This is a really important principle. A thought doesn't get planted until it's spoken. A thought doesn't get planted until it's spoken. He said, look again what he said. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying. In the King James Version, it says, therefore, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. You see, we've got to understand that I need to change my thinking so that my saying will be different. And then I've got to guard my saying to not establish what I'm thinking. What does that look like? Well, glad you asked. It looks like this. I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. I'm not as good as this person. I'm not as good as that person. What you did is you were thinking a certain thing that was put inside of you falsely by deceit rather than thinking what God thinks. And the moment that you said it, you began to plant a seed. And if you planted that long enough, it's bearing fruit in your life. Does that make sense? Now watch this. Well, what would happen if we started thinking what God thinks, and we thought it long enough that that was the first thing that came out of our mouth rather than the other thing? Then we begin to plant the seed that's going to produce the fruit that we want, the fruit of our lips. Does that make sense to you? I'll guarantee you, And I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. Before I was saved, I mean, I was in the world, and you know, our adjectives were usually cuss words, right? And like it is today, you turn on any movie, whatever, it's like, God, I can't even watch that because there's so much cursing that's going on. But that was me. I mean, there's no doubt about that was me. In fact, one day I walked into my mom's house and I was talking to her, and some word, I can't remember what it was, came out of my mouth, and man, she slapped me across the face. My mom, I'm 6 foot, you know, four, you know, 210 pounds at the time. That was a few years ago. 210 pounds at the time. And my mom, you know, 5'6", whap, because she wasn't going to be talked to like that by me. I'm not advocating that you go around slapping people that are cussing at you. Don't misunderstand me. But that was before I got saved. Then I got saved, and I started as a habit saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I was thinking about Him. I was thinking of His marvelous works. I was thinking of His wonders. I was thinking about all that He did for me, right? You see, the more that you're around Jesus, and when I say that, I'm saying the more that He's in your thoughts, the more that you're going to worship Him and praise Him. Come on. So years went by, and I mean years went by. I'm up on a ladder, and I'm working on the shed that I'm building, and it's on a hill. So the eave of that shed was pretty high up on this ladder. I mean, it was a 20-foot ladder, and it was all the way extended. I'm up there pounding nails, you know, putting the boards up, and I hit the wrong nail. You know what came out of my mouth? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you think, man, you're a better man than me because I would have been cussing up a storm. Well, the deal is that I've been planting different seed for a long time so that I was no longer programmed to have the other come out, but I was now programmed to have the right thing come out. See, because I established by saying what I was thinking. Come on. So what you're saying, don't get it twisted. What you're saying and what you say in the moment of distress or turmoil or anxiety is really the thoughts that are in the back of your mind. So in order to get your mouth to change, you've got to change what you're thinking. But you change what you're thinking, and you'll change what you're saying. And when you change what you're saying, you'll produce different fruit. Is that good? So, is that easy? No. Because there's something about tilling up ground. Watch this. I had a friend who, he was a pretty good gardener, and he had tomatoes one year, and he just thought, man, you know how it is. How many have ever grown tomatoes? Well, they're great, but it's like if you plant too many of them, tomatoes after tomato, you get tired of tomatoes after a while, and pretty soon you're not even picking all the tomatoes, and you just let them go. So he thought, well, I'm not going to plant the tomatoes again. So what he did is he just tilled all that ground under and planted something else. But watch this. Because he didn't get all of the tomato seeds out of the ground, the next year when things started growing, guess what he had? Tomatoes. And so what I'm saying is that we can't just, just say, okay, bless God, I'm going to start praising the Lord, and all of those other patterns of thinking will just go away. It takes time of rooting out those things so that you can produce something else. So how do you do that? You do that by getting into God's Word, but also as a pattern, you begin to say what God is saying. You begin to produce what God is saying. Come on. I want to brag on my kids a little bit because I think both of them have accomplished pretty good stuff. And both of them in high school were much more confident than I ever was in high school. In high school, I was a kid that, sat on the side and, didn't want to talk to anybody because I thought, I'll be honest, I thought I was ugly, and I thought that, obviously girls wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. That whole thing, just that. But my son and my daughter were completely different. Why? Because they heard from the time that they were born, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing's impossible for those who believe. Come on, and I'd tell them over and over again, anything that you want to do, if you'll work hard at it, you can do it, right? I put that into them so their thought process was different than mine. So out of their mouths came different things. Do you see what I'm saying? And so what? Well, I wish I would have had that kind of upbringing. Well, you didn't. So what? So, well, I guess that's just the way it is. I guess that's just my life. That's my lot in life. No, you got to get to the point where you say, okay, I was listening. And it might even have been your parents. And even though I don't think they were doing it maliciously, whatever, but their opinion next to God's opinion doesn't add up. In other words, when God says something about you and somebody else has said something about you, then God's opinion triumphs their opinion. And so what you have to do is you have to start thinking how God thinks about you. God loves you. What does that mean? That means that you are valuable and precious in His sight. Well, I know that, but do you really know that? Did you know that if you really knew that, you wouldn't be afraid of anything? Because perfect love, or love that's been brought to maturity, casts out fear. What is fear? Fear is just a thought of what could happen. But when you know that you know that you know that God is with you, that God is for you, that God has a plan for you, then, come on, who cares? We're living in a time right now where there's a lot of Christians that are living in fear. Fear surrounds them. Well, what about this? And this is going to be the Antichrist, and this is going to be the mark of the beast, and this is going to get bad, and we're going to, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? Well, they might come shut the church down. Who cares? Do I want that to happen? No, I don't want that to happen. But here's what I know. The same God that fed me today will feed me tomorrow. It may not be the same way, but He'll feed me. And what if I don't even get fed? And I go without food long enough to die? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's not the worst thing that could happen. Now, I don't want it to happen, and I don't believe it should happen a day before my purposes on this earth are fulfilled. But on the other hand, I'm not going to let the fear of death keep me from producing now. Come on, are you getting anything? So we got to change what we're thinking and thereby changing what we're speaking. And it's kind of a circle. It's like this. You change what you're thinking, you'll say something different. If you speak something different, you'll begin to think something different. And when you start to think something different, you'll say something different. And when you start to say something different, you'll think something different. And so sometimes when we're trying to grab a hold of the principles of God and what God is telling us to do, we say it, but we don't really believe it. I'm valuable. I'm precious in God's sight. Come on. Come on, God. Really? You know, if I've heard this, and, you know, I've had personal words of prophecy over me that God is really pleased with you and God's proud. You know, all of those kind of words. I'll tell you, sometimes I listen to that and I go, I don't know if this is God or not. Because I know me. I know how much I've screwed up. I know how imperfect that I am. And so could God really think that way? And you have to go to the Scripture and find out what He says and say, no, I'm going to agree with what God says about me rather than what I'm saying about me, what I'm thinking about me. If I say that God couldn't really be pleased with me and I found a place in the Word that He says that He is, then I have to change that thinking that put in my mind that I couldn't be. Do you hear where I'm going? We've got to change all of that. So we've got to begin to speak it. I'll give you a few places to start, but before we go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now this is a message that without any reserve, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do tonight, it will change your life. Not it might, it will change your life. It will change your life. You will not be the same next year as you are right now if you'll put into place what I'm telling you to do tonight. But if you don't, you'll be the same. I wish, now really I do wish, that you could come lay hands on me and you know, cast out stupidity and cast out stupid thinking, and cast out all the voices that I've heard in the past. Now, I know God can do miraculous things. I'm not belittling that at all. But what I'm saying is that's not normally how it happens. Change that's sustained has to be change that's enforced. Let me say that again. Change that's sustained has to be change that's enforced. And I'll tell you this, and I've seen it happen more than once, where somebody comes up and God heals them. Absolutely. They come in, this one person that I'm thinking about, they were in so much pain they could hardly walk up to the front. And it wasn't me, it was somebody, a guest speaker that we had. They prayed over them and they were completely free of pain. Absolutely free of pain. No pain. They could bend over. They could move in ways that they hadn't been able to move in years. They went, woo, glory to God. I've been touched by God. But then the thoughts and the symptoms started to come back. And so they said, what they said was, is what they perceived was the reality of who they were. And so they were right back in the same condition within a few, sometimes days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. You have to change. Watch this. If you want real change, then once change begins to happen, you have to enforce that change by the words that you speak so that it can be sustained. Is that, you getting that? So it's not just once in a while. In fact, I think it would behoove all of us to ask God what area or what scriptures that He would have us to meditate on And you know, in the Old Testament, what meditate means? It means to mutter. That means talk to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall. Over and over and over and over. And what are you doing? You're putting thoughts in there that are driving out the old thoughts. Come on. All right. Romans chapter 12. And let's start in verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, that's interesting because whenever you see a therefore, you should find out what it's there for. I know that's funny, but in other words, if you go back and you look at all the chapters coming up to this chapter, because God has done everything that He's done, because of the work of the cross, because that you've been made the righteousness of God, because God loves you, because He's not mad at you, because faith in God, you're saved and all that. Because of that, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable form of worship. In other words, my life is now devoted to you, God, and I'm going to present my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, in such a way that it glorifies you. That's powerful. That's powerful. But now watch. This is. Go to verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen again to what he says. Do not be conformed. And the word conformed means pressed into a mold. Pressed into a mold. Have you ever baked it? You know, you get one of those bundt cake pans and you pour the thing in it. When it comes out, it's got the shape of whatever, you know, design is on it because it's been molded into that. Oftentimes, we're molded into the way we think because the world has impressed upon us a certain thing. And he's saying, don't be molded by what others are saying, by what the world is saying. Don't do it. Don't do it. But be transformed. And most of you know this, but it bears repeating right here that the word transformed is, in the Greek, is metamorphosized. And what that means is that's not the exact pronunciation, but it's from the word that we get metamorphosis. And what that is where one thing changes into another thing by a process of time. The easiest one to come with is when that little caterpillar goes up into the tree and builds a cocoon and is in that cocoon. And a few months later, however long it takes, they come out and they're butterflies. There's been a metamorphosis that has happened. But how are we supposed to be metamorphosized? We're supposed to be metamorphosized by the renewing of our mind. How do you renew your mind? You find out what God says and you begin to speak what God says over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. There's a verse of scripture. There's another pastor. He had somebody come to him. He says, you know, Pastor, I'm just really struggling. I want to quit smoking, but I can't. He said, and again, if you smoke, this is not condemnation all on you at all. But I just can't. I've tried. You don't know how many packs I've thrown away and then gone back and bought another one or dug them out of the trash or whatever. And he says, well, quit trying. What do you mean? He said, well, here's what I want you to do. Every time that you reach down, get a cigarette, put it in your mouth, I want you to say, but God has given me the power over sin and death. God has given me the power over sin and death. So just think about that. God has given me the power over sin and death. God has given me the power over sin and death. God has given me the power. I don't know how many cartons, how many weeks, but there was one day he was walking across the street and he grabbed for that cigarette and he pulled it out and he went, God's given me the power over this thing. I'm not going to let this reign in my life, but I'm going to reign over it because the power of Jesus is working inside of me. What happened there? The power to be delivered is there all the time. But he had to have his mind renewed to the place where he believed that, acted on faith, and then he was free from it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us got everything that we ever needed from God in one instance? I'd love that. But that's not the process. God wants to show what a man or a woman who is full of the faith of God, one who is spending time with God, one who is just being in the presence of the Holy God, allowing that to change you into something else. Again, it's like the person that's trying to change his diet because he doesn't want to have that arthritis anymore. He's got to look at those chips and sometimes, no! Sometimes he's got to say, I'm getting every chip in this house out. Right? And if you know, somebody else in the home brings them in, get those out of here. Until he gets to the place where you can have all you want. It's not going to affect you because I have conquered my need for the chips. See, there's a process. Don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized into where you are now, into what God wants you to be. By the process of renewing your mind or putting into your mind what God wants. And again, that cycle. I say it until it's what I think about. And when I think about it, I'll say it. And so I'm going to think about it until I say it. And then when I say it, I'm going to think about it some more. And so instead of, it's praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. And rather than when somebody upsets you, you're latching onto them and you're yelling at them and you're demoaning and demeaning them, you go, man, that's a child of God. That's a child of God. I better not speak about God's children the way that I'm thinking, because my thinking of them is based on how I'm affected by them, and that's not God's best for them. God, give me your heart for so and so. Have you ever had people that you, in your life, and you really, you might even love them, but you don't like what they've done to you. Right? In fact, every time their name comes up, that hurt is redeveloped. And you just, what do I do with that? I'll tell you. You'll say, God, and mean it, and pray until you get it. God, give me your heart for them. Give me your heart for them. Because once you have God's heart for somebody else, then it doesn't matter what they do, you can still love them. Right? Because as much as God loves me and He's for me, I got news for you, He's for everybody the same way. They just don't know it yet. So what do you need to do? I need to speak over myself what God has said about me, about what He views me as, and what power that He's given to me. Whew. Okay, I've got to close. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all getting something tonight? Yes. Are you going to do anything about it?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Amen. 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 I'm going to read a particular verse, then we're going to come back. Look at verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Who's that? Who is that? Does that apply to anybody in here? I'm not hearing anybody. That's me. That's me. Come on. What is his exceeding greatness of his power toward me according to the working of his mighty power? You know, the only thing that I have to do with any of that is to believe. That's amazing to me. His mighty power is available to me, but my key to getting it is believing that it's there. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of you. Look at, years ago, I wanted to know the love of God, and so I would read and meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and just go over them and over them and over them and over them. And I came to the place where I went back to Romans chapter 5, where it says, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. Now, it's one thing to be the receiver of that, but it's another thing to be the doer of that. I believe that God wants to reveal his love towards you so that you can be a vessel of that love to somebody else. So I don't have to love you in my own natural strength. There's a supernatural pipeline to the love of God that I can love you through that love. Now watch this, but I have to believe that. If I don't believe that, I'm only going to love you to the capacity that I have to love you. And again, if I don't love myself, if I don't value myself, then how am I going to value anything, anybody else? So it's like, Lord, I just want to die to myself. I want to be used by you. But doing that, it's amazing. Amazing how that'll change you. I know I've got to close, and we will in a minute. But just let me show you how that works. Months after months, reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, all the time. I'll tell you about dawn in a minute. But over and over again, I'm at work. This was years ago. I hadn't been saved but a year, maybe 2 years. And I'm at work. And the job that I was doing, I was on a line working with some other people. So you know, we'd talk while we were working and doing all of that. And if you've ever worked shift work at a job, we had day shift, swing shift, and graveyard, all three shifts. Well, obviously your shift was the best. And the other shifts were the problem. Right? I mean, that's just constantly. And so the fellow that I was working with began to talk about so-and-so on day shift. And normally I would have gotten right inside of that, right? I would have just gone into the circle. But I started to say something, and this is what came up out of me. It says, love believes the best of every person. It arrested what I was going to say because I changed what I was thinking. It didn't happen the first day. It didn't happen the first week. It didn't happen the first month. And I didn't have control of when it was going to happen. My job was to renew my mind to it, but there was a day where it took over. And that's what I'm saying, that we have to be at that place. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures to consider. Before I say that, let me just say this. I know who I am without Christ. I'm lost. My worth without Christ is nothing. But I'm not without Christ. I've been born again. I have the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. So everything that I'm about to tell you, it's not because of me, but it's because of the grace of God that's been given to me. And if Let me just say it this way. If God was here, would he contradict what he says in his word? So if he says that his grace has been extended toward you, if he was here, he said, well, I'm going to give it to these three over here, but you six over, forget that. Right? No. He says, here it is. So who's going to get it? Whoever takes it, whoever receives it, whoever changes their thinking to make their thoughts line up with what he's already given to them. So let's look at this. Blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we say the stupidest things. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We say the silliest things. Lord, I need more of you. I understand the sentiment, but how much more of him can you get than the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you? Right? Lord, I just want to be closer. How closer more can you get than you're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heaven? It's not that. What it really means is I need to get my thinking more in line and my believing more in line with what he's already promised. You see, because faith will lead me into the reality of that. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, when I said to myself, he can't really be pleased with me, I didn't believe the scripture. Because this scripture says that I should be holy and without blame before him in love. God doesn't blame me. God will not shame me because I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Having predestined us to adoption by his Son, by Christ Jesus to himself, according to his good pleasure of will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made me accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. What does that mean? I'm in God's inner circle. If you just go around for a week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, for 4 months, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved. It will take you from a place of inferiority to the place of knowing who you are in Christ. When thoughts come that are contrary, you have to speak to those thoughts, and sometimes you have to get loud about it. See, the fruit of your lips will produce what God has intended for you to produce if you're speaking what he's saying to speak. Let's go on. In him I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's mine. I have forgiveness of sins. I've asked God to forgive me for everything I've ever done, but yet there's days where I come up. You remember back in 1983 when you did this. You were saved and all of that. You were saved, but you did this and it was wrong. And you did somebody wrong. Now, I can't go fix it, but I have to apply the blood to that and say, Lord, you've forgiven me. Right? So what do you have to do? When a thought comes of condemnation, you have to find scripture that says, no, that's not me. Because there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he, through the redemption, that he bought me back to himself through his blood, I have the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. That's who I am. That's who I am. And you've got to keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking until the first thing that comes to your mind is that, rather than the condemnation that normally comes to your mind. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. Right? So what I'm saying, tonight we have an opportunity to just let God change everything. Amen? All right, we have to close. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, you said that if we come in the name of Jesus, we could come boldly before your throne of grace to find whatever help we need. I thank you tonight that your presence has been here. And even as we've spoken and people are watching online or they're going to watch later, God, I just pray that you would put this in them in such a way that they would act on it. Because, Lord, I know your word changes us from the inside out. I just thank you for it, God. I thank you for the word. If you're here tonight or if you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just call out to him. Say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Messiah. And that God raised him from the dead. And you accepting him as your Lord puts you in a place where you're in his family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.